Hello on this Sunday. How's your weekend going? If you're a Mizzou fan, probably took a little bit of the sunshine and the good mood out of the weekend, right? I know that's how I felt watching that mess yesterday at Alabama. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for your support. If you're passing through, please subscribe. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. You get to hear me run my mouth and look at my big, ugly mug, right? Hey, that's entertainment. But anyway, appreciate all the support. Thank you for all the comments. And also, please hit the like button. Listen, not much good to say. I don't think you came here to, look at me to try to make everyone feel better about what happened yesterday and pump in all that sunshine and everything else. I can't do it. I really can't do it. I don't think most of you have no inclination to want to do that either. So bad yesterday at Alabama. So very, very bad. 34-0 blowout loss. The Mizzou offense was on the field for 12 possessions. And here's how it went. 0 points, 7 punts, 3 interceptions, a missed long-distance field goal, 1 extended drive that Alabama stopped at the goal line on fourth down at the end of the game. Missouri had only 1 possession that lasted more than 5 plays, and without that garbage time, 88-yard drive that finished the game, Mizzou had 151 yards offense. Brady Cook got hurt. He tried to go on a bad ankle, only to now come up with another injury. There were 2 occasions in the game, as you know, where throwing the ball, his right hand smacked into the helmet of a Alabama player, which is, you know, kind of one of those things that happens in college football. But, of course, well, it happens in all football games. But, of course, it happened to Brady Cook when he was already dealing with one injury. So as I record this about 1:15 on Sunday afternoon, I don't believe there's been any updates on Brady Cook's condition going forward, but it doesn't look good. And just leave it at that until they announce something or disclose something this week, early this week. Maybe he misses, if his hand's broken or something, maybe he misses the rest of the season. They got 4 games left in the regular season. I don't know. There's really no need to speculate. It's just not good, okay? It's certainly not good. And frankly, and I'm going to get into this, frankly, listen, what Brady Cook did against Auburn the previous game was a thrill. I mean, just the story, the drama, you know, he's hurt. He goes to the hospital. They're checking out the ankle. You know, they can't get it right. He's in the team's practice facility trying to throw the football. You know, meanwhile, Mizzou's losing to Auburn, and he comes out of the tunnel running and making plays and, you know, and pulls it out. And it was a great day and it was a great moment. But it doesn't mean that Brady Cook's a great quarterback. He hasn't been very good this season. And I'm not trying to diminish his loss. I'm not trying to claim he's unimportant. Of course, he's very important. And among other things, he's a team leader. All I'm saying is, and I got the facts to back it up, which I'll get to, he just hasn't been nearly as good, Brady Cook, as he was last year. So I guess this is one way of me preemptively saying I really don't want to hear any excuses because, among other things, why doesn't Mizzou have a better backup quarterback? And I'll get into that, too, because I know some of the Drinkwitz apologists are already shaming their fellow Mizzou fans, saying, well, you take a look around the country. You know, there's a I don't know why you good people think that, you know, Eli Drinkwitz is supposed to have a good backup quarterback. How many teams have good backup quarterbacks? Well, I can't tell you like an exact amount, but I do know yesterday that let's see. Indiana won with a backup quarterback. Texas A&M made a quarterback change during the game. They put their backup in, and then they proceeded to just bull rush over LSU in a comeback to win that game. Who else do we have yesterday? backup. Oh, yeah, that's right. Penn State. They're in a dogfight at Wisconsin. Their quarterback, Drew Allar, gets hurt late in the first half. And then Penn State wins a real tight, tough game with their backup quarterback yesterday. And I think depending on how you calculate what Michigan's doing with their quarterbacks, they went back to a quarterback who had been starting, and Michigan won a close one against their rival, Michigan State. So, I mean, that's just four examples. Yeah, you can actually have a good backup quarterback, yeah. And especially with Mizzou having this excellent NIL program, yeah. There's no rules. You know, you're not, oh, no, you can only have one decent, one good quarterback. You can't have a good backup quarterback. Bull, right? Bull. Anyway, more on that as we go along. Mizzou 6-2. The trends are very disturbing, to say the least. In the last two losses to Texas A&M and Alabama, Tigers outscored 75-10. And in the narrow win of Auburn, if we include that, it was 21-17. So in their last three games, one win, two losses, Mizzou's been outscored 92-31. Does that sound like a playoff-bound team to you? No. Let's just quit talking about that, okay? Saturday's futility was the first shutout loss by a Mizzou team since 2019. It was easily the worst showing by a Mizzou offense in 57 games under Coach Eli Drinkwitz. So I'm sure that, you know, these things are fun. It's like, well, is there a path? If they win out, is there a path? I mean, you can play that game. I'm not making fun of you. You can do whatever you want. But can I just put this out there, please? Before you get busy sitting down and looking at all the schedules, and you're trying to find a way for still find that way for Mizzou to get on a path where they can get into the 12-team playoffs. Yeah, they can still find a way in. I would suggest this. Maybe they need to find their way to the end zone first before we start talking about finding a path to the national tournament, you know, the 12-team tournament. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at the situation. I mean, they can't even navigate their way into the end zone these days. Again, 75-10, the last two losses. Get to the end zone and then win a few games, and then we can kind of reevaluate playoff chances. Get to the end zone. You ain't going to get the playoffs if you can't get to the end zone. Anyway, this is sort of a Mizzou thing, right? I hate to say it. I've lived through it. I've been in this state long enough to know. I've been so thrilled by some of these times where Mizzou's been really good, and you know, some of the Gary Pinkle years were outstanding. Heck, I was excited as a young columnist back in St. Louis. I was really truly excited when Larry Smith got Mizzou to back-to-back bowl games, because Mizzou had been a long, long time. I was thrilled. I was excited. And we thought, well, you know, Larry Smith, hey, he's at least got this program solvent. They're up and running. They're competitive again. They're going to bowl games again. And then Larry Smith, God rest his soul, you know, kind of thought, well, we got this. Hey, man, we got this thing gone now. We're good. And they slacked off in recruiting, and then the thing fell apart again. He got fired. Gary Pinkel, I've got nothing bad to say about Gary Pinkel. But, you know, Mizzou got to number one in the country that one week, when they, with a great team that Pinkel had, when they beat Kansas in that classic game at Arrowhead Stadium. And that was kind of the peak. And listen, they made two consecutive SEC championship games, 2013-14. That was really, really exciting. Then Coach got sick. Then everything slacked off again. And, the Barry Odom years were kind of dull. And coming into this year, everybody was fired up about Mizzou, and why not? It won 11 games last year. The schedule was sitting there for a great, great season. In other words, all the conditions, all the factors were lined up for Mizzou to have, pardon the cliche, a dream type season, but it just didn't happen. And that's why I say this is kind of the Mizzou thing. And I am a Mizzou fan. You know, I'm objective in terms of how I analyze their performance. I don't hold back. I'm really happy when Mizzou has an excellent football team and a good football team and a team that everybody can be proud of and a team that is worthy of the SEC and everything else. That makes me very happy, but I'm also not going to look the other way. So this is kind of like the sad but true, you know, Mizzou experience with football. You know, you have a fantastic season. Everybody's fired up. You kind of get big-headed about it in some ways. I remember earlier this year, there were players who was coming out of there and a lot of stuff complaining about how we're not getting enough attention. We're underappreciated. I know with some of my dialogue with Mizzou fans, you know, they thought Mizzou was being undervalued when they were ranked. The Tigers were ranked sixth or seventh or eighth. Oh, we're better than that. And, you know, everyone getting all uppity for some reason, you know. And I always cringe at that because one really outstanding season doesn't mean you've arrived or you're elite or you deserve to be put in the same class of teams that get the benefit of the doubt all the time, right? It just doesn't work that way in college football, and Mizzou's not in that club yet, right? And so instead of complaining about not being appreciated, not getting, you know, how come our games are on the SEC network? Why aren't we on the big showcase time spots on ABC? That 3:30 game, 2:30 Central. What about you? Well, there were a couple of those games in a showcase time slot nationally, and like I said, 75-10 outscored in those two games by Texas A&M and Alabama added together. So, you know, when you had Eli Drinkwitz before the season, do you remember that? He was kind of lecturing the fans because the first home game, first game of the year wasn't sold out yet. And he was kind of giving the fans a hard time, more on that later. And it's kind of like, you know, you got to prove yourself. This is the SEC, man. You got to prove yourself. You know, there's no parades for having one really outstanding season. And a lot of things had to go right for that to happen last year, too. You got to follow up with it by reaffirming that 11-2 was not a fluke or a joke or kind of a once in a lifetime experience. You got to come out and prove it. No one is going to like throw rose petals at your feet. You're right there with Georgia and Bama. I mean, come on. I'm probably exaggerating, but you know what I'm saying. You got to prove that you're a hell of a team. You got to prove you're worth a top 10 ranking. You got to prove it all season. You got to win the games that matter. We've seen this movie before, unfortunately, and it's a little bit part of the program's historical identity. I'm not trying to irritate or offend you. I'm really not. I'm just telling you the way I see it. Because again, we've kind of been through these cycles before. The thing that troubles me the most is that the Mizzou offense is dead. Five games against power conference opponents, five games now, right? Averaging 17.5 points per game. And that includes an average of 10.3 points per game in the last three SEC games against Texas A&M, Auburn, and Alabama. MU has averaged only 13.3 points per game in the three games against ranked teams this season. I mean, you ain't good. I mean, you got to score a lot more than that. That average I just gave you, where they're averaging 13.3 points in three games against ranked teams, that ranks 15th among the 16 SEC teams in how many points do you score against ranked opponents. So Mizzou's next to last worst offense in the conference. The other thing is that, again, I am going to talk about Drew Pine. I am going to talk about Brady Cook. But here's the thing I want you to understand, and I'm not looking to pick on Brady Cook. I go by facts, okay? I really do. I just go by facts. What's my agenda? My agenda is to look for all the information I can that's fact-based, factual, and 100% legitimate, right? I know in our country today, facts don't matter much. Call me old school. I think they matter a lot, at least the way I do my job. So they've had terrible overall quarterback play. And I define that with what's the number one thing a quarterback is supposed to do? What's the number one quality? If you just want to go by the stat sheet, what's the number one quality? You got to be accurate. And I've talked about it on these videos with you before. The accuracy is a big, big issue, and it's a big, big problem. And this isn't about Drew Pine. I don't want to like put everything on Drew Pine, right? Brady Cook hasn't been very accurate either. And again, here come the facts. Please listen to these numbers, all right? There are 69 power conference teams this year. And in games against other power conference teams, in other words, I'm stripping away all the soft games on the schedule. I'm stripping away, you know, the boxes of chocolate. You know, I'm stripping away the cotton candy games. Power conference teams against power conference opponents. Similar competition, you know, top conferences against top conferences. Missouri's quarterbacks, again, there's 69 teams. Missouri's quarterbacks, the two of them, right, rank dead last, as in 69 out of 69, in terms of on-target passing rate and catchable ball rate. Forget completion rate, because completion rate doesn't tell you the whole story. Because what you got to do is deliver the football when it's accurate. It's right at the receiver. It's catchable. It's either on target or it's catchable. And Mizzou is the worst team among power conference teams in competition against power conference teams when it comes to passing accuracy. Dead last, right? So this is the least accurate passing attack among the 69 power teams. Brady Cook ranks 83rd among 85 quarterbacks that have attempted at least 30 passes against power conference opponents, right? There's 85 of those guys. Brady Cook ranks 83rd among the 85 in his on-target rate, and Drew Pine is 84th. Catchable ball rate, Brady Cook 77th among the 85. Drew Pine is 84th. How are you going to have an offense when your passing game is just so glaringly inaccurate? And again, I ain't running my mouth to run my mouth. These are facts. This comes from my friends at Sports Info Solutions, which has partnerships with every sports league that there is to provide advanced statistical information. And so this is a real thing. The inaccuracy is killing their offense. Not the only thing, but that's the number one thing that comes to me. And as a result of this inaccuracy, it's one of the factors. You may know where I'm going next, right? Luther Burden is being wasted, pretty much being wasted. In that shutout at Tuscaloosa yesterday, he had 5 touches, 3 catches, 2 runs, 18 total yards. I know Alabama's going to try to take them away and all that, but where's the creativity? Where are the things that you're trying to do that can pop him open? You can maybe go against what the defense is expecting. Why do you make it so easy for them to completely shut down Luther Burden? And it's not like, you know, it's not like Alabama is this total shutdown defense. They've had some lapses. Vanderbilt was able to throw against them. You know what I'm saying? You can beat them. They've got some young secondary guys. They make mistakes. They blow coverages. 18 total yards, 5 touches for Luther Burden. And why is Mizzou so predictable in the passing game? I think Kirby Moore, the offensive coordinator, I agree with many of you who have said this already. He was celebrated last year. In fact, he got some head coaching interviews, but he's having a bad season running this offense. And it's not like Drinkwitz is doing anything to help get it right. Brady Cook comes out yesterday, and everyone knows that he was a game time decision, all that. Everyone knows he's got the bad ankle. He didn't practice much, if at all, this week. So what are you doing coming out and just pass, pass, pass? You know, why don't you let Alabama know you got some things in your playbook, or you're at least going to try to run the ball. You got to make them honest. You got to keep them honest by showing you're not just going to drop back and say, come and get me. Come here, come and punish me. I got a bad ankle. Here I am. Have at it. Take your shots. I mean, this is just borderline cuckoo. So the coaches are an issue too. Now, I said I'd get back to something, so I'm getting back to this. Mizzou needed a better quarterback coming into the season. I think that's obvious now. If you want to say, well, I didn't hear you say that before the season, you're right. If you want me to, what, plead guilty to that? Okay, plead guilty. I thought Drew Pine, you say, well, you know, he did start at Notre Dame. He went 8-2, and then Arizona State wanted him. And then, you know, there's another way to look at that. This is his third program. And based on what we've seen, the poor fellow seems to be getting worse. And maybe it tells us something that Notre Dame was kind of like, eh. And Arizona State is like, oh, you're going to leave? Good luck. You know, you got to find a better backup quarterback. Just because a guy started some games at Notre Dame, you got to ask yourself, well, why did Notre Dame want to get rid of him? I don't know, man. I don't think he signed with three different teams because his services were in great demand. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm really not. He's doing the best he can, but it's really hard to watch. In the three games against Auburn and Alabama, excuse me, in the two games against Auburn and Alabama, this is when Cook was sidelined, when he was out of the Auburn game before he returned, and then when he was out yesterday. Pine's been the quarterback for 13 possessions. He's completed 48% of his throws. He has lobbed three interceptions, and he's also lost a fumble. So the possessions led by Drew Pine have resulted in more turnovers, four, than points, three. I know your backup's not supposed to be as good as your starter, but come on. There's got to be something better, right? And again, I mentioned this, and I won't, you know, go doing this again because, you know, I saw some of Mizzou fans being lectured by other fans about you have to be realistic about the quality of backup quarterbacks. You don't see that many of them. Well, as I said earlier in the video, we saw quite a few backups leading their teams to great wins yesterday. So I don't want to hear that, right? So we don't know what's going to be happening in the future. In terms of like if Cook's coming back at all, you know, I know some people talk about there's two other quarterbacks they have. Give them a shot. All right, whatever. I'm not opposed to anything. But Mizzou's moving into an uncertain time. You know, 60% of the starting quarterbacks in the power conferences this season are transfers. That comes from, I believe, 247sports.com. So they're moving around all over the place. I mean, there's quarterbacks coming and going all over the place, right? And if 60% of the guys starting going into the year, 60% of the guys starting transferred in, that means other starters were displaced, and that means maybe there were some guys out there. That's all I'm trying to say. And that's something to think about. I just think it's worth mentioning that. I think Drinkwitz could have done better than Drew Pine. And yes, again, I admit it. It's easy for me to say that now. And just a reminder that Brady Cook was recruited by previous Mizzou coach Barry Odom. Drink is in his fifth season at Mizzou, and he hasn't landed a recruit that's capable of being an effective quarterback at the power conference level, a starting quarterback. And I'm talking about the guys who are starters, guys who have actually been in uniform and played more than a token amount. Now, some will say, well, wait a minute, you're forgetting Sam Horn. You're forgetting about him, the hotshot out of Georgia. He was a four-star recruit. Drink won a good recruiting battle, but has Sam Horn done anything? No. The first 2 years in the system, he attempted 8 passes, and then he tore up his elbow because he's a pitcher on the baseball team. He's out this year. So my point is, I was fired up when they got Sam Horn. But Sam Horn has been a non-factor. And until he is a factor, if he ever will be a factor, why would we point to him as a recruiting success? It doesn't add up, my friends. So that kind of holds true for, I know that Drink went and got another highly regarded quarterback be coming in next season. And that's good. again, thumbs up. That's good. And I'm not being sarcastic. That's exciting. But until that quarterback actually plays for Mizzou, and not only plays, but he proves that he's a good quarterback, and hey, Drink really did go out and recruit a guy. Yeah, it's his sixth season in 2025, but you know, well, yeah, he went out and got a guy. Yeah, this guy's good. But until that's happens, why should we assume it's going to happen? You can't. You got 5 years that tells you that. But it could happen, sure. I hope so. This is why I think Drink ought to be called out for the state of this offense, right? And I'm going to keep this simple. No fancy stats. In fact, no stats at all. Just a quick characterization of the 2024 Tigers offense compared to what we saw last year. And it is a huge difference. But again, I'm keeping it real simple. Quarterback play, it has declined. The running game, it has declined. No surprise, no Cody Schrader, but bottom line, it has declined. The receivers, are they as good? Have they gotten better or are they worse? Well, they're worse. A lot of it has to do with the quarterback play, but they are worse. And there's just very little impact. Tight ends, disappearing. Why doesn't this team ever seem to – well, I know that they've thrown the ball in the middle. I'm not saying they never have. And I didn't back up my opinion or my perception with numbers. But it seems like there's got to be some more opportunities in the middle of the field in the passing game. Why is everything on the sidelines? Offensive line, weaker. No doubt about that, weaker. They get overrun too often. Kirby Moore was interviewed for head coaching gigs last season, but his star is fading, I would think. The idea that Power Four programs will be pursuing Drinkwitz with huge offers after the season seems kind of silly at this point. Remember all the fear when, you know, everyone officially put Billy Napier on the hot seat? Oh, my gosh. Watch out. Florida's coming for Drink. Oh, Florida's going to come after Drink. I thought, you know, there were people just kind of wet in the bed over this, including some media people. I mean, just terrified of Florida coming in to steal Coach Drink. Can we sort of table that discussion, right? Can we just sort of maybe not worry about that right now? I'm more worried about this coach being able to put an offense on the field rather than somebody coming to town to steal him from old Mizzou. Yeah, he can recruit, and he has fired up the donors and the politicians, and they've given him whatever he's needed for Mizzou to have a great NIL program. All that is positive. It's really, really good. But Drink doesn't call the plays. He gave that up last year. His offense has faded, and he's got a quarterback problem, most of it of his own making, right? Because, again, Brady Cook was not having a good year. Accuracy-wise, big play-wise, before he got hurt. That's why I'm saying that. The injury matters, but the injury doesn't change the fact that he wasn't very good before he got hurt. Not as good as you needed him to be anyway. Listen, I know Mizzou is 6-2. They got 4 winnable games left on the schedule. And I'm looking at my note. Well, forget. Yeah, I got the opponents. You know, if they run the table, they're 10-2. They're in line for a good bowl game. But what's your confidence level right now? Do you see Mizzou clicking off 4 in a row over Oklahoma at home, at South Carolina, Mississippi State at home, or at Mississippi State, pardon me, and then Arkansas at home? So you got Oklahoma home, South Carolina road, Mississippi State road, and Arkansas home. How much will Brady Cook be available to play, if at all? Why would we think that Drew Pine will get the offense moving and rolling? And I'm going to go back to something I mentioned earlier. You know, remember how Drinkwitz publicly challenged Mizzou fans before the season? Got to show up, got to sell this first game out. You know, he really made it a point to sort of put the fans on the spot. He said something, I couldn't find the quote, but I remember it. Coach Drink said, you know, in effect, if this first game isn't sold out, that stadium isn't filled, he basically said, well, then Mizzou really isn't the football school that we think it is. I mean, that's kind of a slap in the mouth to the fan base. I mean, again, you had an 11-2 season last year, and we were all very grateful. Very grateful. And we were happy to praise and praise and praise, right? It was a wonderful season. It didn't make you Nick Saban, okay? You're not Nick Saban. You're not Kirby Smart, right? You're not even Brian Kelly, all right? You go 11-2, and don't organize a parade for yourself, okay? And who are you to call out the fans? You take care of your own business. That's one thing about a drink I don't like. Always worried about the wrong things. He's got the rabbit ears with what people say in media, social media. He's overly sensitive to certain things. You know, he's keeping all the secrets, but most college coaches do that. But you take care of your business, coach, okay? As we would say in Texas, you take care of your business. Fans will take care of everything else, all right? You don't shame the fans just because you've had one season that was terrific, okay? You're not Urban Meyer, all right? You're not Saban, all right? So in closing, I'm going to repeat, you know, Missouri fans, I feel bad for them, and I am one of them, but not to the extent that many of you have been for decades. Mizzou fans had nothing to prove, but this coach and this program, despite the 11-2 last year, this program still has, and this coach, a hell of a lot of things to prove, all right? That'll do it for today. I wish I had happier things to talk about, but it is what it is. And you have a good rest of the Sunday. And thank you for watching, as always.